Hi, I'm Stina.
And I'm Father Burns.
And this is the Living Fullness Podcast. On this episode, we're going to have a chat about the virtue of diligence and intentionality.
If you're new here on the Living Fullness Podcast, we chat about virtues and living the spiritual life, among other topics. And we are delighted to have you join us.
So for this episode, talking about diligence, and every month we kind of go through a particular virtue. So for this month, we're doing the virtue of diligence. And if you are following our socials, you will know that as the Virtue Ministry team, my team and myself are also doing the Virtue Challenge. So for this month, we're all challenging ourselves to grow in the space of diligence. So
that's pretty
let's
cool.
Have a chat about what diligence is then. So this is kind of the sense of like moving through the world, intentionally putting care, attention, and effort into the responsibilities that have been entrusted to us. So when I say responsibilities that have been entrusted to us, what do I mean? Well, firstly, we need to be diligent with our life. We actually need to be able to appreciate that we've been gifted a body, we've been gifted a mind, we've been gifted a soul, and we have a responsibility to care for that. Then we also have like relationships, and obviously the first relationship that we want to make sure we're taking care of is the relationship that we have with God. And then we also want to look out for the relationships within our families, our place in the family, extended family, and so on, also our church family and our friends, who are the people that have kind of been placed in our lives, who are the people that have been entrusted to us, our wider church community, and also the wider world as well. Each of those having different levels of responsibility. We also have work. So this could be as in like career work. This could be the work that we do at home.
Right.
It's the way that we contribute to the world and to society and to others in our lives.
Cool.
Then we also have responsibility with time as well. So this is the use of the time that we've been gifted, as in, you know, the 24 hours that we've been gifted in each day, and how we make use of that time. We also have a responsibility to be diligent with our free will. Do we actually put it towards building up virtue, or do we put it towards just kind of growing the muscle of vice, whatever vices that may be?
Yes.
That's our will being exercised as well.
Yep.
And then we have things like talents and gifts and charisms that we've been given as well. We have a responsibility to figure out what they are.
Yes.
And then how do we put that to the service of others, to the church and to the world?
Absolutely. So diligence in all of those areas that you mentioned is a very holistic way of looking at diligence, because often when we think about diligence, we just sort of think about it in the context of doing hard work and, you know, diligence in schoolwork and diligence in work and diligence in all these. And true enough, diligence belongs to those things, but diligence also belongs in the spiritual life as well, and in the fostering of good and healthy relationships. Sort of a precondition for diligence is intentionality, being conscious of the life that we're called to live, not just coasting along, right? Being conscious that we're to act according to who we are and who we're called to be. Having that sort of intention to live in all aspects of our lives according to our Christian calling and who God has made us to be.
Yeah. So there's two kind of passages that we've been talking about in relation to diligence. One comes from Romans and the other from Peter. So from Romans 5:3-5, it reads, "We rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." And in a similar kind of way, you know, as we were talking about this, I thought, oh, there's another one that reminds me of this one. And that one actually comes from 2 Peter 1:5-7, which reads, "For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love." I think both these passages make it very clear then that we're expected to put some kind of effort in.
Right.
And especially regarding the spiritual life, that we're meant to devote time and energy into growing in relationship with God.
Yeah. Yeah. And that means devoting time and energy to those other aspects of our lives, because all aspects of our lives can actually give glory to God. So we show diligence in all those aspects of our lives, putting in the appropriate time and effort in order to glorify God. Now, this doesn't mean that diligence is a kind of Pelagian approach to faith in Christ. By Pelagian, I mean, so there was a heretic in the early church, and the way that the church names its heresies is that we go, who made up the heresy? A guy called Pelagius. Okay, it's called Pelagianism. So Pelagius said, basically, he said that we can save ourselves. We can pull ourselves up to heaven by our own bootstraps, and that's not what diligence is. It's not where we can grow in the spiritual life by means of our own devising. Rather, it means prioritizing Christ and recognizing that a relationship with him is not only worth our attention, but is the thing that is most worth our attention, right? And our care and our efforts, allowing us to cooperate with his saving grace. It was St. Augustine would say that Christ made us without our help, but he will not save us without our help. Mm. So, you know, Christ actually wants to, and this is shown through every book of Scripture, Christ wills to associate human freedom with his work. He wills to associate us with his saving work. So when it comes to our salvation, and when it comes to actually interacting with that reality, and even sort of bringing that reality to the broader world, he wants our human freedom. He wants us to cooperate with that. That takes this virtue of diligence, where we actually see salvation for ourselves and for the world as being something that is of the most importance to us, that everything else is directed towards that, so that we direct our time and our energy towards that, and we give appropriate time and energy to all these other things in our life in a way that glorifies God and is appropriate for those various aspects. So I spend, you know, I, if I'm a father and a husband, then the way that I glorify God fundamentally is in my vocation as a father and a husband, you know, and my diligence in carrying that out, in putting effort and time into that, but also taking my family and going, hey, let's pray together with God, having that diligence to say, let's as a family craft a spiritual life together that is ordered towards God. But in the work that I do in order to support that family, I do it with diligence to glorify God. You know, and so that sense of diligence is, it's not about what we're doing so much, but rather it's about God's invitation to cooperate with him to bring our human freedom to play there. So all of that established, on a practical level, what is contrary to diligence and how can we grow in diligence?
Yeah, I guess so the opposite of diligence would be the vice of sloth. And one of the ways, and I think we've spoken about this in a previous podcast, one of the ways that diligence or the lack of diligence can actually manifest is in the form of disobedience to the demands of love. So virtue, in terms of, well, all the virtues are ways of expression, are ways of expressing love. And the virtue of diligence demands love in the here and the now. So it's not this whole, well, actually it's not necessary right now, so maybe like later. That doesn't exist when it comes to diligence, because when it comes to the virtues, because virtue acts with immediacy. It's in the here and now. So if God calls us to something, then we're actually not being diligent with our time by postponing acting on that call. So when he calls us to do something, we ought to do that something now, or when he's asked that to happen. So if he's asked for it to happen now, we should do that now. If he's asked something of us to happen tomorrow, we need to make sure it happens tomorrow.
Right.
And when we don't do that, we're actually being disobedient to what God has called us to do.
Right.
So when God calls us to courage, for example, he calls it in the here and now. He's not going to give you and ask you to be courageous, but in 5 years' time. He's not going to say, well, here's the courage and I want you to be courageous But not now. We'll wait for 5 years and then you know. Because he works in the here, like he's present in the here and now, and he's giving us what we need moment by moment. We don't have to like savor this business up for the next moment. We're not going to be depleted in the next moment. Like we will get everything we need moment by moment. So if he's given it to us in this moment, it's to be used in this moment. We've been entrusted that time. We've been entrusted that call, there's a responsibility there, and we have to use that only for this particular moment.
Reminds me of Saint Augustine, who says again, but
sponsored by Saint Augustine.
yeah, exactly. Saint Augustine, who when he was sort of starting to turn his life around, I think in his confessions he said one of his prayers was, "Lord, make me chaste."
Yeah.
But not yet, right? Right.
Yeah.
No, Augustine, the Lord is giving you that inspiration for right now, you know?
Yeah.
And another example or another way to think about what you've just said there is, you say a husband who's been asked by his wife to fix the kitchen sink. I mean, it's such a simple, simple task. Mm-hmm. But if we take at face value that one of the ways that diligence actually changes and or helps us to grow in our relationship with God is that we see each with the smallest moments of our lives as a way to glorify Him, and that we do it therefore with great care and effort, then something like fixing the kitchen sink is actually kind of important. It's it's a way of glorifying God. Very simple, but it can be very profound. So he's asked to fix the kitchen sink, and he's like, "I don't know if I know how to fix the kitchen sink," and I don't know if I want to admit that. I don't know if I can fix the kitchen sink. Like, this is a stepping on my moment of manliness right here, you know. And I can completely relate because about 20 minutes ago, I was at the front of your place, being like, "Yes, I can fix this light globe," and I'm like, "I can't fix this light globe." This moment of manliness is gone. It's just disappeared completely.
Yeah, there's something else going on. There's,
I'm afraid I cannot fix this thing. It's actually incumbent upon him to take the responsibility to go, you know, my dear wife, insert name here, you know, wife, I cannot do this. I can't do this. I have the courage in that moment to say, I can't do this. I can find someone who can, and I could even learn how to do it. But right now I can't do this, and it needs to get fixed now, so I need to call someone to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, and that takes a bit of courage to admit that and to go, yeah, all right, I might feel like it's stepping on my moment of manliness here, but actually the manly thing is to own up, say I can't do this thing, and to get someone who can and even learn how to do that thing.
Yeah.
You know, that's the manly thing to do, right?
So because the manly thing to do there and the loving thing to do there, whether male or female, is to take responsibility for what.
Exactly. And that's due diligence. Mm. That's seeing the care that one has for those entrusted to one's care, rather than being careful only about how do I feel in this particular moment, looking beyond that and going, okay, I may feel this way in that particular moment, but despite how I feel in this particular moment, I have a responsibility that says recognize that, but then don't let that control you.
Yeah.
You know, act contrary to act in a way which respects those entrusted to your care. Mm. And that's due diligence at work. Mm. Yeah. Yeah.
So what are some ways that we can build diligence then?
All right. So setting clear and achievable goals.
Yep.
You know, so manageable chunks at a time, including breaks, you know, so not, you know, if I'm going to be diligent in fixing the kitchen sink, then I need to learn how to do that. So that means taking the time to go and do that and to make it an achievable goal, right? So I'm not going to be an expert plumber at the end of this, right? It's got to be something achievable that I can do.
The breaks thing though, that stuff's hard. Like that's one that I struggle with. I'm very good at, like on a Monday when I have an admin day, I'm very good at putting down a list of 15 admin tasks that I need to get done. I'm not very good at going, well, if I want to get these 15 tasks done, how many breaks do I also need
to have put in place
in order for those to be done most effectively and efficiently?
I like it. Yeah, so, breaks are important. Yeah. Planning for effective ways to actually achieve those goals. So you know, systems, processes by which those goals will actually be be achieved? Like how, all right, this is the goal that I want. This is the achievable goal that I want. How do I go about like actually having steps in mind for how I accomplish this thing? And you mentioned breaks before. Well, planning those things.
Yeah, planning
where am I going to have a break so that I'm not snowed under by trying to achieve this thing.
But also like enjoying it too. Like just I think sometimes we can think, oh, diligence just means like we just have to do this thing that we don't want to do when we don't want to do it.
There is actually supposed to be joy.
Like the virtues are supposed to free us.
That's right. That's right.
Like true virtue
it
frees
us. It is actually
us,
so. meant to be joyful.
Yeah.
But it's meant to be joyful if you know, if you just know, look, yeah, okay, I know it's meant to be joyful, but I don't have the virtue of diligence, then yeah, look, it's probably not going to be joyful. It's probably going to be a slog. And that's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay that it's a slog when you don't possess that virtue.
Yeah.
Keep persevering.
Yeah.
You know, and just keep going, keep moving forward and keep going, you know what? This sucks. I don't like it very much, but I gotta keep moving forward here.
Mm.
And that includes looking after yourself within that with things like breaks, right?
Yeah.
You know, you could be someone that really does enjoy the work side of it, but doesn't enjoy the, as you say, the break side of it.
Mm.
Well, even there, you have to include those things and in order to be diligent and not sort of killing yourself.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Because I have a responsibility to care for my mind and to care for my body.
Right, exactly.
Am I doing that if I'm just pumping through 15 things and I've forgotten to have lunch break?
All over, right.
I don't think so.
Exactly.
And then am I really questioning myself on why I'm so tired of an afternoon?
Why do I have a headache all of a sudden?
Yeah.
Well, have you been looking after
yourself?
Right. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
And that water, drink water.
Right. Coffee isn't water. Eliminate distractions, things that can break and create frustrations for what we're actually trying to build. So, you know, if I'm trying to increase my prayer life, you know, if I'm trying to do, you know, 10 minutes of mental prayer each day, and I'm like, okay, I actually want to do that. I want to prioritize my relationship with God this way.
Yeah.
You know, I've not really been praying, so I'm going to try and do 10 minutes of prayer time every day.
Yeah.
Well, okay. For that 10 minutes, eliminate distractions, put the phone on silent, do stuff that's going to make those other things that will come and make that 10 minutes perhaps unproductive and not conducive to the goal that I'm trying to achieve here. Get rid of those things. Be flexible, willing to make adjustments. Taking the spiritual life up again as an example, I often have folks say, I want to pray a rosary. That's something that I want to do in my spiritual life. I want to pray a rosary each day. Okay. Start small and think big. Start with an achievable goal, as we've said, and then be flexible in that goal. Being flexible doesn't mean looking for the easy way out each time.
Mm.
Being flexible goes, I have tried to pray a decade of the rosary today. And I've managed to get 5 broken Hail Marys through because today was a day where the kids were racing around like mad people and 2 of them are sick and, you know, and it's just been one of those days where things haven't worked. Okay, you've had a day where things haven't worked. Don't beat yourself up about it. Look at it and go, today was a day where things didn't work.
Mm.
I'm flexible, right? But also sometimes our processes will get interrupted.
Mm.
Sometimes things will happen that derail our plans. Okay, all right. Being flexible allows us to go, that derailment happened and it was a necessary, not even a derailment, but that-
Away from the plan
that,
I had.
That deviation occurred.
Yeah.
But now I can come back to it, you know, and I got sick for a while. All right, well, now we come back to the plan.
Mm.
You know, that wasn't part of it, but that's okay. Or maybe when I'm sick, my plan needs to look a bit different.
Yeah.
You know, if I get sick, my spiritual life is going to look different. Or when I get sick, the amount of time that I can devote to this thing, it's going to be different.
Mm-hmm.
Flexibility is required in order to deal with these different things that we encounter. Seeking a bit of feedback, you know, and that kind of goes hand in hand with having accountability, Right. So seeking some feedback and going, hey, I'm actually being open and honest with someone and saying, I'm trying to grow in this particular virtue, or I'm trying to grow in this particular skill, or I'm trying to serve my family in this particular way, or grow my relationship with God in this way. Look to learn and seek feedback from others and say, look, how would you approach this? How would you approach this particular task? Like what does your spiritual life look like? What does your prayer life look like? How do you serve your family in this way? And be humble enough to go, maybe they're a couple of steps ahead of the curve. Maybe they know where maybe they've figured something out that I haven't yet and I can learn from them.
Yep. And maybe they've tried some things that didn't work.
Exactly.
But I don't have to repeat.
That's right. And let someone hold you accountable. If you're trying to be diligent in some particular aspect of your life, let someone hold you accountable so that if you flag in diligence, they can go, hey, you're not being careful about this thing. You're being flippant about this thing. I journey with some folks who are trying to overcome certain difficult and addictive behaviors. And if they're being flippant in one aspect of their lives, because one of the things that's really important for overcoming addictive behaviors is that we have diligence in a lot of different areas, right? That there's diligence in prayer life, there's diligence in exercise, there's diligence in work, in avoiding certain behaviors which might be triggers. There's a whole bunch of diligence that's required. So if diligence starts flagging, they're meant to have an accountability partner that can go, hey, we haven't been running for like 3 days. What's that about? It holds them to that goal that they're trying to achieve and the diligence that they're trying to exercise.
And also gives them that opportunity for feedback because, hey, maybe the system that's in play isn't actually going to help you achieve the goal that initially thought it would.
Right.
Like maybe you thought, oh, this is how I'm going to get there. This makes perfect sense. But now it's been a couple of weeks and it's not working so well and you're starting to wane and your accountability partner can go, hey, what is this? Well, that's your check-in. But that gives you an opportunity to review and go, maybe my systems aren't working.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe I need to shift some stuff around.
Yeah. Celebrate wins.
Yeah.
Celebrate wins, right? Yeah. And this can be particularly difficult, right? How do you celebrate wins? Well, you can celebrate them materially.
Yep.
You can celebrate them materially. Yep. You can grab a cake and celebrate your win.
Yep.
But also you can celebrate them in a immaterial way as well, in a way which is more connective than it is. Because I think one of the important things about celebrating a win is that you don't celebrate in isolation.
Yeah.
Because celebrating wins, you achieve some goal in the spiritual life or in your family life, and you've been diligent about achieving this particular goal. Great, awesome, fantastic. But if the way that I celebrate that win is in isolation, is on my own with a piece of cake and sitting back and watching a TV show. Now, not that any of those things are wrong. TV shows and cake aren't wrong. Yeah. But when we celebrate in isolation, it can sometimes be a little bit counterproductive to the whole diligence thing. It can sometimes be a case of I've been diligent, I've achieved my goal, now I can sit back and do whatever I want. Mm. Or now I can sit back and just chill out and maybe let myself slip a little. Mm. I can eat the 10 pounds of cake I wanted to eat. I can now indulge in some unhealthy goal or some unhealthy behavior.
Yeah.
Because hey, I've achieved this thing, right? Whereas when we celebrate in connection with someone else, like we go out for a meal, or we sit down and just talk about the achievement with someone, or we pray a decade of the rosary in thanksgiving for this particular thing that's taken place, like that, those are are good, wholesome ways of celebrating a win that doesn't just mean I'm on my own doing this celebration. I think celebrations on our own, whilst not always inappropriate by any means, they can be counterproductive. Not necessarily counterproductive, but they can be counterproductive if we're not careful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's just, I mean, the thing with celebrations is that it's a reward.
Right.
For hard work and effort that's been sustained for a long period of time, or a new habit that's been grown. So it does need to be something that's actually enticing to you.
Yes.
Because otherwise you're not going to want to keep doing this thing over and over. If there isn't some kind of positive emotion or experience or, at the end. So it doesn't have to be a brand new car.
No, that's right. And I think when I talk about celebrating in isolation, celebrating alone is fine. Mm. Celebrating alone is fine. Mm. Celebrating in isolation isn't.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right. Mm. So to be alone, to celebrate alone is to effectively be celebrating in a way that is inclusive of God and his good gifts. Mm. To celebrate in isolation is to really celebrate in an almost exclusively materialist way.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's not about something that I like or something that I enjoy. It's about something that I'm indulging in. Those aren't the same things. Mm. So I think that's the one caveat that I would offer is don't celebrate in isolation. Celebrate in connection. Mm. That doesn't necessarily have to be with another physical human person present, but it's always got to be in connection with the most important person of our lives, which is God.
Yep.
And other people also are very helpful for that.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Yeah. Very cool. Well, hopefully that's been a interesting episode to listen to. What is diligence and how do we grow in it? I think it's probably been helpful for myself, to be quite honest with you, so that's a good thing. We hope that you've enjoyed that episode. And before we leave, a truth, a beauty, and a goodness, Stina, beginning with yourself.
Yeah, sure. For me, it's a resource. It's a book that I've been reading. It's taken me a while to get to this book. It's been out for a long time. It's called Atomic Habits by James Clear. He just kind of talks about how we actually build these habits. So he breaks them down into the various steps and systems that we need to put into play, how our brain ticks, how we are enticed, if you will, to want to repeat habits that are hard if we set them up in the right way. So it kind of just gives you lots of cool tricks and tips to set up better processes and better systems for building habits that are small and building on them.
Yep.
Yeah. What about you?
Mine was a pretty cool encounter that I had. Mm-hmm. It was one of those moments where you're just like, God, I think at a certain point you might be showing off. Like it's obviously God doesn't show off.
Yeah.
There's someone in my parish who hasn't been coming to Mass, and it's because of a tragedy that occurred in her life. Mm-hmm. And she's recently been baptized in the last sort of year to 2 years. Mm-hmm. And it's been really, really difficult for her. And I was recently praying about, Lord, just help our paths to cross. Help us to get somehow to be in connection. Mm-hmm. And on this particular day, I was meant to go out boxing with Father Rafter and our Italian instructor. Not Sylvester Stallone, in case any of you wonder, I was waiting for a pest guy to come in, a pest control guy to come in, and I'm like, oh, he's running a bit late, and boxing's at 2, and it starts getting towards 1:30, and I'm like, come on, it's going to take half an hour to show you around the property.
Yeah.
So I texted Father Rafter, and I said, mate, I'm going to be late for boxing. Just start without me, and I'll arrive. So I showed the guy around cathedral property and said, here's where we need you to do your stuff. He goes, yeah, no worries, Father. He goes, you mind if I walk around the property? I said, yep, sure, you go. You walk. I'm going to get some bollards to block off this entrance so that nobody gets stung by a bunch of wasps. And so I went over to the church to grab those bollards. As I went to grab them, the pest control guy calls me again. And he goes, Father, you need to come and see this thing. I'm like, okay, no worries. So I left the bollards there, went across to see what it was that he wanted to show me. And he showed me this thing and I'm like, great, fantastic stuff. You didn't need to show me that. You just
deal with it.
Do your thing and fix it. Like, that's fine. I'm none the better for having seen it. You could have just. I'm now more worried about it. You could have just pretended like it wasn't there and fixed it for me. Anyway, fine. Thank you for showing me. Off. Okay. I'll go back and I'm looking at the time. I'm like, come on, you know. So I got back to the church, went to pick up the bollards, heard the door go. Someone walked in. I turned around, and there was this young woman. And I went, I see. So I dropped everything, dropped the bollards, and went over and said, "Honey, how's it going?" We sat down for a bit and talked and connected and it was beautiful, you know. And it was a moment where God worked His mercy.
Yeah.
And I said to her, "Do you realize that right now I'm meant to be across town?" Getting beaten up by a mild-mannered Italian man, but God has worked it just so that I would be here when you walked in, like just so. There were plenty of opportunities for me to pick up what I needed to pick up and walk out, but God in His goodness was insistent, like He inspired a pest man to be like. I need to call Father about this problem that I could easily deal with on my own. You know, it was awesome. I need to tell the pest man this story.
Yeah, you do.
Like, I need to tell him that and just be like, do you realize that you actually assisted in somebody's mm-hmm. moment of conversion?
Yeah.
So it was just this really, really beautiful moment.
Yeah.
And the fact that it also happened on my anniversary was really nice as well. Yeah. So it was like a little gift from God. I'm like, that's actually pretty cool.
An answered prayer.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah, that was awesome. Really nice. That's beautiful.
Yeah. Very good.
Well, thanks for joining us for another episode of Living Fullness. We will catch you again next week. But until then, know of our love and prayers.
God bless.